每天醒来，我都希望自己处于好状态，面对未来挑战。
哦，闹钟总是有其他想法，打乱了日常步调。
生活难免会被内心的声音干扰，失去原有的自我而宕机。这时来两粒 Extra 无糖口香糖，重新找回自我状态。
随身携带 Extra 无糖口香糖，摒除内心的杂音，
用自己独有的节奏创造自己的生活。
我们都喜欢那个最自在的自己。
Extra 嚼出你的好状态，
即日起至5月14号止，
于 7-Eleven 购买 Extra 实力调装口香糖，单件只要17元哦。
OK, Hi. I think it's alright,
but my voice is this. Okay, the point is, I was taking the Chinese class, and then we need to expound. And the professor say, well, they need to use a microphone because you know the Asian people is a little more shy. But then when it's my turn, I was prepared to take the microphone.
Yeah.
And the professor said, no, you don't need a microphone. I was, what?
You're loud enough. You're loud enough.
What do you mean? And the professor said, yeah. And the professor said that your voice is loud enough. And I say, no, my voice is not loud enough. I feel that my voice is, I don't know if it's because I heard myself. I feel my voice is not really loud. Sometimes I feel like my voice is really small.
No, you project actually quite well.
Really?
Yeah. So even for you and like people further in the back, they can hear you very clearly.
No way, right? Yeah.
But for me, that's something that I realize. I tend to be a soft speaker because when I do like on stage, like acting, the professor would say, louder, pronounce, articulate. Tyler, I'm not hearing anything from you. So then I have to really, I can almost feel like I'm shouting.
Yeah.
But they say, no, that's like the normal voice. But when I talk like in my natural way, most of the time I need to use my microphone.
Before to start this beautiful episode, we need to say thanks to Studio 307. Thanks, Studio 307. Say the speech.
Okay, every time we're gonna say that we are forever grateful for Studio 307, and thank you for providing this amazing space, amazing spot for us to record our podcast in order to bring even more fun content, even more interesting show to, you know, people. And guys, if you are like, you know, living in Southern Taiwan, specifically if you're living in Tainan, I definitely recommend coming here and check something out. Yeah.
The best price, the best equipment, the best environment, the best everything, and even we can stay here for you. So
we might bump into each other.
Yeah,
actually.
The best of the best in Studio 307. Thank you, Studio 307, for being our sponsor in this episode.
Honestly, everything is possible. We are living in a world where you can make impossible possible, because we started out as, you know, two guys with literally no jobs. But right now, we are actually sitting around...
Well, we're still without jobs.
We still have no jobs. We are just now people with no job, but with quite a little bit of followers.
Yeah, so.
Let's try a little bit different
more
style.
Elegant. How do you say more elegant, okay? I'm a icon, ape, menu, swaigo. It's me, Gongor.
And it's me, Tyler.
And this is Bros Bond.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
The very first time we're not yelling.
Everybody, now today the topic is about the news, okay?
Yes.
Exactly, maybe not news, not actual news, but it's something that we find that can be interesting. And maybe you didn't know about this.
Yeah.
So,
if they're not recent news, at least they used to be some news.
Juicy. I think
something really juicy.
Something that impact yourself or like change your form of mind. Because I think it's not everyday news, like can be really shock news.
Exactly. I think Brosman, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and we try to, you know, right, really pinpoint and choose the topic that can be actually quite thought provoking for us to, you know, have some self reflection and try to see like, oh, this is my thought, and try to also, you know, have other people's perspective and, you know, join the conversation or the discussion. And I think that's actually, it's quite healthy. As long as we don't get canceled. Okay. Well, you want to go ahead and start?
Oh, okay. For example, one of the really, really shock news that I saw that, like, let me, and you're drinking water, bro.
What?
What are the things?
Is somehow related?
Yeah, it's really related, because it's like a shock me. And when I listen to this, it was like a, could be right, because everything makes sense. Listen this. I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
Maybe it's really scientists probably thinking it's possible that the water that you drink could be the pee of one of the dinosaurs. Because you see, could be the pee of the one of the dinosaurs. And when you start to understand this news, it's like, okay, the water is one of the most older resources in the earth, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's one of the most older resources in the earth. So even the dinosaur used this water, and the process of the water is a one cycle, right? It's the same. Now you drink this water, and then you do pee, and this pee go to the one process that could be process again water, and maybe you drink it again.
Yo, it's totally possible, because for one person, after that person drinks, you know, take him some fluids, it only takes about 40 minutes to pee. So it has been like recycle.
So it's probably that one of the molecular of the water you drink could be shared with the one dinosaur.
I think it's not probably. It's like
it's
gotta
be 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Honestly, it doesn't have to trace back with dinosaur. I could just be drinking my grandpa's pee.
I really hope this don't take too fast after the process. But yeah,
or you could be drinking mine. But wow.
Cheers for your pee.
Cheers. We're drinking each other's pee.
When I was in Peru, I was sick. One of my aunties say, you know, if you want to be healthy, every day in the morning you drink your first pee.
Yo, I heard people say that.
Really?
Yeah, really?
Did you did?
No, I didn't do that, but I think personally, if I have to choose, right? If I have to drink my pee, I would rather drink a lot and then have a really, you know, like almost transparent kind of the first pee, the first time you urine after a long sleep, it's super yellow and super orange. And it smells like just urine.
Really hard.
Yeah. Why would you want to drink that?
I don't know, but I listen to people that...
One say it's like it probably contains some good bacteria so that it can boost your immune system.
Bro, I didn't find a resort. I can't lie. So everybody, if you're listening, I didn't find a resort, but I listen to people say that it's healthy. I don't know in what way, in how is the way, but it's healthy.
Even if it's scientifically proven, it's very healthy. Would you want to drink it? For me, no. I'd rather die 2 years
I can tell
earlier.
You maybe. Maybe, listen to me before, because I was in one point in my life, I was really sick. Really sick.
Okay.
That I try a lot of things. Even a lot I of put different... pizza in my penis. For
you put what?
Pizza in my penis.
Pizza?
Yeah. I will put pizza in my
How
penis.
How the fuck would you put pizza in my
penis? The guy just the doctor say, if you want to be more healthy in this, because you have a whole human system problem, so you need to... I don't know if that guy really lied me or scammed me because he didn't sell the pizza. But he told me, okay, he was a doctor. Naturist doctor, okay? Then totally natural things, use natural things. Mm-hmm. So he grew up plants and he make pizza. Oh. And he said, okay, this pizza have a lot of protein, have a lot of good things. So just put in your body, put in your face, put in your penis, put in your bottle, and then you will be healthy. Your skin will be more better. And I was like, in that moment, I was, well, I don't nothing to lose. I mean, I really sick in the That's point that like, I can try whatever you say.
You gotta try what you gotta try.
Yeah. So I remember that day. Imagine in my house, I was with my pants and one pizza inside of my pants, and I was like walking with my pizza.
But how is it possible? It's greasy and oily pizza, right?
No,
pizza.
No. Just the how do you say the mian bao of the pizza?
Ah, okay.
Not the pizza, not the whole pizza.
I thought it was like pepperoni. I was like, what the fuck?
No.
Ah, okay.
The pizza,
okay.
The base, only the crust. The base of the pizza.
Okay, that makes sense. I was like, what the fuck? And you have like onions, green peppers, olive everywhere. Oh, but that's really interesting, yeah.
I think when you are really sick, you can try everything.
If I'm really sick to the point, then I probably would try.
I make one extract of this plant, and I drink that every day when I was sick.
But
I can tell you, bro, is suck. It's really terrible. Talking about plants, you have something to say?
Talking about plant?
Ooh!
the transition. Okay.
I love your transition. I love your transition.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Well,
this episode you're on fire, bro.
Yeah. So we're talking about plan eating plans, and quite more and more people actually are become more aware, and then they try to be. You ever heard of this word, flexitarian?
Flexitarian,
which is flexible plus vegetarian, is like they have more awareness when I try to eat more plant-based diet, but when there's a barbecue party, you bet I'm there. So it's like it's more flexible, but that compared
I think that can be you are a vegan for decision and convenience.
Yeah, people are like more aware of their intake when it comes to food,
okay,
right?
Okay, okay.
And so this news, I already showed you the video, so I'm going to briefly talk about what happened. So there is this person, he's vegan, and then while he was doing live stream, he talks about we all use phones, right? And in our phones, we probably all have this emoji or sticker, so emoticon, something we can choose that can better represent with a graphic on it. So this person is basically saying that, well, I have been emailing Apple every single day to ask them to remove the meat emoji because as a vegan person, I find that very triggering, very offensive. So that's basically what happened. And down there in the comment section, people are like, oh yeah, you hate me emoji. Let me type you thousands of them. So I mean, we're not going to talk about the comment. We're going to first talk about just for this situation. If someone tells you they feel emojis being very offensive, very triggering, and we should remove them. Do you eat meat?
I love.
Yeah. What do you think about this demand? He's making demand, asking people
about the
like,
emojis.
Yeah, about
you're
emojis.
You're pointing about emojis.
Yeah, about emojis.
Fucking is fucking ridiculous.
Why is it fucking ridiculous?
Because, bro, it's, if you don't... We are living in one culture about censure.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we don't like, we want to censure.
Oh, yeah.
I have a people who think about maybe same like us.
Mm-hmm.
They want to censure.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't censure everything that you don't like.
Yeah, that's true.
Because every person likes something and every person don't like something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why we have a variety of things.
Yeah.
A diversity.
Yeah.
So, for example, we pass one dark period.
Well, yes.
Yeah, we pass one dark period. And a lot of people send me hate.
Mm-hmm.
And they comment in my photos, in my lovely photo with my wife. They mm-hmm. comment stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And I delete the whole comments and I block these old people.
Mm-hmm.
And the people ask me, why'd you block me?
How
dare you block me? How dare you delete my comments? Uh-huh. And I ask you that, people, sorry, but I'm not too stupid to one lovely photo that makes a lot of memories of me and my wife. I'm going to just let your comments. Yeah, you have the option to comment whatever you want, but I don't need to be the person who are going to, I'm obligated to see your comments. I'm not obligated to have your comments in my photo. It's my photo. And I can do whatever you want with my photo. Your, in Peru we say, your limits, your obligation, your rights finish when the rights of another person start.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So you are free to comment whatever you want, but I don't need to be obligated to keep your comments or read your comments. Mm-hmm. So if I don't like the emojis of people who post meat, I don't care. Just I block of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If the people use the emojis, it's their own problem. It's not my problem.
Yeah, so it's like vegan find that to be offensive. I wouldn't say vegan as a whole community. This particular individual finds it offensive. It's like, understandably, maybe that is true for you. Maybe
no,
you
I
really
can tell you,
that.
When I saw the video, I was really... I have a just concept.
Mm-hmm.
Is the guy... was first the guy accept to this because mm-hmm. the guy was making a live stream.
Yeah.
And when you make a live stream, you have 100 of people watching you.
Yeah.
And whatever the people, you can't control 100 of people watching you.
Yeah,
and you
exactly.
can't control the comments.
Mm-hmm.
So the perspective of the guy was he has the intention to say something, to share one idea. But another people was thinking like it's a joke. So they send this like a joke or try to hurt these people.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you are doing this job, when you are doing live stream, when you are doing this, you know this is going to happen and you need to see three steps up front.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I know. How is your mind? How about you?
Honestly, I'm a bit concerned because...
You don't want to receive K again?
No. No, I mean, like, obviously, vegetarians or vegans, they are the minority of the group. Like, most of the people are meat lovers. Not every vegetarian is like that. So I would say that sometimes when you have a strong point that you want to make and you want to demand something or you want to try to raise the awareness... being overly dramatic or being too emotional while you are expressing and, you know, taking your stand, most of the time people might take it the wrong way, even if you do have like a solid, valid point. Yeah. So I would say we watched that video together. I would say he was being a little bit overly dramatic and a little bit too emotional to the point that I think that it's probably going to bring bad names and bad reputation. Like, people might think, oh, all vegetarian, I like that. Wow, they're so sensitive. Wow, they're so easily offended. But that's not true. Honestly, I think, like, there are a lot of different kind of vegetarian, the ones that, oh, I don't eat meat, but you go ahead and eat whatever you want. They don't shame you about it. But there's another type of vegetarian who's like, oh my God, you're eating cows. You're a slaughter, and you are killing lives, and you're doing some kind of things. And I think that you don't necessarily have to shame other people and to... glorify, you know, all the benefits and all the very glory perspective of being a vegetarian. I think you can just be you, and we respect you, and you can also respect people who choose to eat meat.
I have a really strong idea because I grew up in the farm. Mm-hmm. I grew up with my grandmother. I grew up in the older culture. Mm-hmm. Even when I remember when I come to Taiwan, a lot of people have the pets, guinea pigs.
Oh yeah,
but I eat guinea pigs. And when I come to Taiwan, my traditional food is eat guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people was like, what? You eat guinea pigs? You're a monster.
They're so cute. Why would you eat them?
So you see, now have one conflict between culture.
Yes.
Because I can tell you, I grew up in one farm that every fucking morning you need to wake up really early and you need to collect the food of the chicken, of the guinea pigs, of the sheep. You need to go to buy really early, like at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 4 a.m. before you go to the school. You need to collect the food and you need to wait 1 year before eat this sheep. You need to wait 1 year because you need to grow up and you need to take care because that animal is so easy died.
Yeah.
So you need to take care, and in the end, you eat the whole meat. And you be blessed because you say, finally, my whole effort.
Yeah.
I can eat this meat with my whole effort. Uh-huh. And I enjoy it. It's delicious. It's so delicious. Mm-hmm. So if I am wrong or I am a monster?
Yeah, I think just, you know, because you guys grew up in different households and different culture. And sometimes it's like, it's not necessarily right or wrong. I think for that girl, if you're a strong-minded vegetarian or even you're a vegan, that's your lifestyle. Yeah, for sure. You can have every right to practice what your belief. But at the same time, maybe try not to shame other people while they have not necessarily the exact same approach when it comes to choosing their food. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a culture shock, but I had a shock from my grandpa and my mom. So I freaking hate birds. I'm like so scared of them, right? I can't be anywhere near them. And the other day I was talking to my mom, and my mom said that my grandpa used to have a lot of pigeons. Yeah, because, you know, pigeons, they had proper training, they fly, and then they have like rays or some other things. And so he was doing that. And we had like a whole maybe hundreds of pigeons in the fourth floor, and where it used to just like my grandpa used to, you know, compete in a lot of those race matches. And you have the fastest one and the slowest one, right? The stupidest one. And so,
what are you talking about? You say that the slowest one is stupid.
It's very cruel, I would say, because, you know, asthma, like shortness of breath. Yeah. And my uncle used to have that. And I don't know where my grandma and grandpa got the idea. So they thought, people said that if you cook pigeons and feed the kid, their asthma would become better. They will not suffer from that anymore. And so every time when they have a round, right, the slowest one, my grandpa would catch that one, and they would cook the pigeon. And I was hearing that story, and I was like so in shock. And I asked my mom, like,
so you also had pigeon because your brother also had pigeon? And my mom said, yeah, because he had too much and, you know, he's just like tired of eating them and they actually taste like chicken. I'm like, what? You eat birds? And my mom said, chickens are also birds.
Yeah,
what?
Chicken
why,
and birds.
Why are you making a big
fuss? You were surprised.
Yeah, why are you so surprised? And like, so it's like different culture. Maybe sometimes you might be really shocked. Like even for Vietnam or where they have the fertilized egg. Where you open it, you can already kind of see like a half-formed chicken or
wow.
duck. You can already see like a tiny, but you eat the whole thing. It's fertilized already. Yeah, but it's
I mean,
not
see,
like
it. I eat guinea pigs and the people look yeah. at me really strange.
Yeah,
like, do
yeah.
you eat guinea pigs?
So I would say just try to understand different other people, different other culture and try to remind like you have every right. If you don't want to have that, if you don't want to consume that, don't, never. Don't try that. But if other people decided to do that, if they're not doing any harm, and I would say, yeah, try to, you don't have to absolutely understand it, but try to respect it. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I'm
we get to be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm. You know, I eat cocoa dry.
You, what?
I ate cocoa dry.
Crocodile.
Crocodile.
What does it taste like?
Like a chicken.
Is it white meat?
Yes, yeah, white. It's good.
What's the texture? Like really chewy?
It's a little hard, but it's good.
You had that in Peru?
Yeah, in like the jungle of Peru. Oh, you know, even when you go to the jungle, uh-huh. have an aboriginal, the aboriginal people. Uh-huh. And the aboriginal people have a really strong traditions.
Oh, okay.
That for example, we have a liquor. We have a drink from spiders or uh-huh. drink or snakes, something like that. Yeah,
snakes. Yeah, Taiwan also had that tradition. I've never tried that before, but they
have. I never tried the soup of a snake.
I think Taiwan has snake sake.
Yeah,
yeah. They put that in the alcohol, and I don't know how they do that.
Oh, my father one time, my father bring alcohol of ants. Yeah, ants.
Your father-in-law or father?
No, my father. My
Your father. Yeah. Alcohol of ants.
Yeah, ants.
Is it like all down there in the bottom?
No, we have a really, in the jungle of Peru, we have a really big ants. Uh-huh. So they put that and they ferment and you can see in the bottom a lot of ants.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's culture.
Yeah, it is different culture. Oh, wait, sorry, about vegan. I have a really quick story I wanted to share with you about barbecue ones. So this is
the barbecue
one. Yeah, the barbecue one. Oh, I'm getting hot right now. Yeah, because in my memory, I find it a bit funny. Am I sweating? Oh my gosh, shit, I'm sweating. Look at my armpits.
That's the reason why I wear black.
Do you guys care? Is it inappropriate? If I do this, can you see it?
No. I can edit that. I can edit
But
you know the worst part? Uh-huh. Now, when you are sweating in this part, the worst part you can do is do this.
It's gonna sweat
even more.
Because
you're going to sweat more. And then maybe it's going to be more. So try to... The best thing is try to be normal because...
Okay, try to be normal.
You know, this is the problem. If you notice, mm-hmm. you notice.
Yeah.
Nobody is going... If you say, oh, I'm sweating, it's, the whole people notice that.
Look at his armpit.
Yeah, it's nobody is going to say, oh, you're sweating. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Unless it's me, of course, because I notice everything. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, so...
Now you look like an employee guy.
I am. So, I'm just fitting in my character right now.
Yeah, after job. Yeah.
So, when I was in college, we were a bunch of poor international students studying in the US. And what happened is we were like, oh, man, I want to eat barbecue. But when you go to like all-you-can-eat kind of barbecue place, sometimes it ended up one meal costing you $30, including tips. That's like almost like... almost $1,000 New Taiwan dollars.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculously costly to students. So we were thinking, well, maybe we should go Costco and buy a lot of meat. And then maybe we should have our own barbecue party. So we were like 20 of us. We're like, yeah, let's do it. And so we had a line chat group. And in there were some Americans, right? And so we have this one person trying to organize everything. And then she invited everyone into that group chat. And then she asked, okay, so I'm going to start preparing all the food and everything, the grill and stuff. And she said that, just curious, anyone vegetarian, if you are, please let me know. And so I can better prepare something. And if you are vegetarian, please let me know that... what do you prefer, right? And so I was like, oh my god, this is culture shock. In Taiwan, if you have a barbecue party, nobody asks about vegans' opinion. Nobody. They just assume that you come, you have something green.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't prepare.
Wait, I think the party, if it's barbecue, And you are vegan?
Yeah.
Basically, you already accept that you are going to eat meat. You're not going to be a barbecue vegan.
Yeah.
Unless the title said barbecue vegan team.
Yeah, exactly. So at the time, I was like, whoa, it's a barbecue party. But then she thought about asking people.
Is that professor again?
In events. And I was like, ooh, first time culture shock. I was like, oh, okay. The people are so, you know, respectful and try to be more inclusive. And then there's actually one girl, like let's say the girl tried to organize it, called Amy, yeah? And the girl who responded, let's call her Betty, yeah? And Betty responded, and Betty's saying, oh, thank you for asking, yes, I'm actually vegan. And
Betty is vegan.
Yeah, Betty's vegan, and she said that, thank you for asking, I'm so happy that you asked, because nobody really cared about vegans.
So what, Betty, why you are in the group, huh?
And then Betty say, oh, if it's possible, I would prefer a different set of grill and a different set of, you know, like the clams and
Betty, you are picky.
And a different food set. Because that person asked already, so she thought that, okay, I'll tell you all of my preference, yeah? And just when I think, oh my God, this is actually happening. This is, wow, it's so American, so advanced. And I was legit thinking, oh, maybe next time when I have barbecue, I need to learn this. Yeah.
I need to ask.
If the next moment I saw it,
Becky left the group.
Betty being removed from the group chat. Amy removed Betty from the group chat. And then Amy comes again. And Amy said, I'm going to ask again. Any of you vegetarian?
Wasn't apology. Wasn't like a really like a gentleman way to say, oh, if anybody.
Yeah. Oh my God. Right. So.
Oh, okay.
I was shocked
amazing.
And then double shocked.
Fucking amazing. Fucking amazing.
Yeah. But I would say, I mean, like, if you try to stand from like Betty's perspective, she might feel really hurt. Like, did I just get kicked out for, you know, you asked me a question and I answer you and then I got kicked out. But I would say it's like, it's a barbecue party, Betty. So,
but maybe it was a really tricky question.
It was, yeah.
She
was fishing.
Yeah,
Amy
yeah.
Was fishing.
She was fishing. I think Amy was fishing. I think
Becky
just go to the drama.
Yeah, I have one thing that I want to share. This is not like a very recent. It's not a very recent news, but it was a kind of like a really huge news back in the days. I would say like about
even I can tell you, I saw a lot of reels talking about this.
Oh really?
Yeah, I saw a lot of reels.
Okay.
So it's kind of popular, and
it was kind of popular. Yeah, it was kind of popular, and I think personally, it's very worth discussing. From like, especially you are learning languages, and I being a Chinese Mandarin native speaker, I think it's great to know. So you already watched the video, know the event. I'm gonna briefly talk about what happened.
You put me in the middle of the storm, right?
Like, we are.
If I'm going to die, I'm not going to die alone.
I am going to drag Andre Gergango into every single one of the shithole that I create.
Because the last thing was, I watch a video. No, we watch the video.
Yes, now, but that's with all seriousness. With all jokes aside, I do think that I learned a lot from that experience, the certain incident, and
it's, we grew up.
Yeah, it's true, because we starting from just two personal, you know, we have two personal accounts, and then suddenly we have this one official account. We are getting more recognition, and I think at the time I didn't really realize that how influential and how powerful words can be, especially when you are being recognized, you know, by more and more people. Your words holds certain power, and it's very critical for you to pay attention and, you know, take cautions when it comes to using your
words.
You
know what's the best part?
Uh-huh.
It's because thanks to these mistakes, mm-hmm. we can be the best version of us.
Mm-hmm.
We can grow up together, we can mm-hmm. learn together, and we can be more professional, because if we didn't make mistakes, we can learn nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm actually really grateful, you know, for what happened. And still, I mean, yeah, well,
so now we stay in the storm. What do you want to say about the
okay
professor?
So the next one okay, so what happened was, there is this there was this professor, and he used to work in Shanghai, so he knows some Chinese certain phrases or like idioms or usage, and he was teaching in this university in California. And at that time, it was nothing about a Chinese lecture. It was a master program mainly teaching business, and in that class the topic was more like advanced communication and how important filler words are. Like, for example, in Spanish, when you're like in between sentences,
What do you say?
I don't say that. I'm professional at speaking.
Oh, shit. Fuck you.
No, wait, but because I take a class about that. Okay. I study communication. Mm-hmm. And in that process, if you see, I try to prevent this.
Feel the words.
Yeah, feel the words, because break. Mm-hmm. Because we have a one class, and our exam was make a one exposition.
Yeah.
And try to control your speaking. Yeah. And try to control the tone. Mm-hmm. And try to control the scene, the ring, everything. And we can't say, we can't say, because one of these is minus 1 point.
That's quite interesting, because the class that professor was teaching is pausing between our, those are actually quite useful. And it helps bring and gather the two ideas in. So he was teaching, saying like, oh, filler words. So let's say, for example, if you want to say that person, what do you say?
那个人。
So 那个 means that, right? Would you agree? Because you also speak Chinese. 那个. Yeah. And I would also agree, the professor was saying 那个 can sometimes also be used as a filler word. Let's say, for example, oh, what do you want to eat for lunch?
那个凉面好了,
right? So it's like, it doesn't really mean much, but it has this richness to help you connect ideas and buy you some time to think about, you know, giving out an answer. So this professor was basically talking that, and like, oh, you know, in Chinese, that means 那个. So it might sounds like, oh, nigga, kind of like this. That's all he said. But then after the session, after the class, the professor got reported for using racial slur, which is the N-word. Very, very, very rude, inappropriate, insensitive words. And so primarily those students who are protesting, I would say most of them probably are, you know, from the Black community, and some are just, you know, allies supporting students. And so what do you think, from, you know, your perspective, like, the students are protesting, saying, oh, the teacher used the N-word in class and we feel so deeply offended and it's really triggering, it's such a terrible word, we demand and we are asking the school to fire the teacher.
I think you're losing your time. You're wasting your time. You're protesting for nothing. You are doing nothing. You are not going to change nothing. Because if you really want to make a change, you need to code and you need to change the whole Chinese language. Mm-hmm. And this is not going to happen. The Chinese language have a more culture, and it's really, really rich culture language. Mm-hmm. The Hanzi, the character of the Chinese, is beautiful. It's so beautiful, the story, how you create one character. Mm-hmm. I battled with that because it's really difficult to read, and every character have a really small meaning.
Yeah.
And it's a combination of arts.
Yeah.
But if you really are battled with this, like, okay, we are going to change the professor because the word in Chinese is similar to one word, one word that we can say that one word, like a white person can't pronounce, or any person who is not for this community can't pronounce, you are battled with for nothing. Because what is going to happen is coming another professor, maybe you can put the king of whatever, or the president of whatever country,
and whoever to pronounce that Chinese word would pronounce it that way.
That way, it's going to say naga or naga. It's going to say the same.
It's either naga. But it's all the same. And honestly, in that video, in the clip, the professor, it's contextually very correct, the pronunciation. And I would say that, obviously, if today someone, you know, came at you and intentionally use some racial slur, then yeah, of course you need to cancel that person, because that was, you know, they intend to hurt you, to insult you.
Yeah.
But it was nothing about racial discrimination to begin with. So
nothing.
It was almost kind of like you're barking up the wrong tree. You are attacking the wrong person. The professor was actually giving some useful, you know,
with the argument, knowledge. With the nothing.
Yeah, and obviously it's an educational setting. So I think, but, you know, unfortunately, the professor was being removed from the class. He was not being fired from the school, but he was still, you know, not being able to teach that class. So I would say,
but it's really impossible to change world culture, because even in Chinese, you have, for example, grapes. How to say grapes?
Putao.
But puta in French, puta. Puta. Listen to me. And in Spanish, puta is the same.
Yeah.
And that's been beach.
It can also
and
be
I'm
really
going,
offensive.
No, I'm not going to be canceled at Chinese because they say, oh, wasn't your home put out, yo. So I'm not going to cancel that.
Like a rapper.
I think we are not part of that community. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly how I mean, I can't say this is the feeling because mm-hmm. I'm not part of the community. Mm-hmm. I'm a Latin community. We have a lot of another word, another to say. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, since the perspective of a student of mm-hmm. Chinese, mm-hmm. I can't change this language. And if that pronounced in Chinese, is that how you are going to say? Because when you come to Taiwan, you are not going to be afraid if everything say, oh, I want 那个饮料, 那个, I don't know what
to
say.
Yeah, it's so common, and it's basically, it's impossible to remove that from our language. It's totally. So commonly used, like every single person in your everyday conversation, there's got to be a point that you have to use that, right? So it's super common, and even in Koreans, because I'm learning Korean, and in Korean they have 네가 and 내가. It's even more common because that means you and me. How common is that? You can't ask them to change Korean, because if that's the case, I'm only learning these languages and I already found these similarities. Imagine all the language.
For example, one of the typical case happened to me is with my father-in-law. I think I have a lot of story with my father-in-law. But my father-in-law, one day we was eating in the restaurant of my father-in-law boss. So if he's your boss, of course, you need to eat everything and you need to say really beautiful words about the restaurant. But the point is, I was learning Chinese.
Yeah.
And when you say Hengnang, it's uh-huh. too difficult. It's say when you say Chashi Hengnang, this you mean this is too difficult.
Yeah.
But I was learning in my early using chopstick.
Yeah.
And you know, with the noodles, it's a little difficult. I have
these
soft noodles. They have these soft noodles.
Yeah.
So it's more difficult for mm-hmm. me. So when they ask me, how is the food? And I say, Hengnang Chi. Yeah. And uh-huh. because I was trying to catch the noodles and yeah. I say, "这是 Hengnan Chi." And they put the table and they say, "What?
What did you say?
What did you say?" And I say, "对啊,你没有看到是 Hengnan Chi 啊." And they turn around and say, my wife asked me, "你想要做 是很难吃，因为你不可以用筷子，而是很难吃，因为是不好吃。
It's tasteless, it's inedible, it's
difficult.
Really hard,
you say 很难吃 because it's difficult, or 很难吃
yeah.
is because tasting like a shit. I would say, what?
Yeah.
And she said, blame me because 很难吃 is mean it's too difficult to swallow. Mm-hmm. Is so that mean it's disgusting.
Difficult to consume.
Uh-huh. It's disgusting. So I say, oh no.
I didn't mean it that way.
I didn't say that. No, it's difficult. It's difficult because it's impossible to catch that.
How I get this food and then transfer it to my mouth. Yeah. It's difficult.
It's difficult. Oh. No, even is you have this circle. So you need to from the circle, from the big table, you need to put in your table.
There's a round table.
Yeah, yeah.
I see.
So it's
quite interesting. Different culture, different languages. And I just thought of one because I'm learning Korean. And when we ask people, it's super common in Taiwan, we ask, 你吃饭了吗? Mm-hmm. Right, it's like, have you eaten yet?
Yeah.
Right, it's kind of almost like a greeting. Yeah, but in Korean, it kind of sounds similar. 你吃饭了吗? They say 你吃饭了吗? It means you are a fucking son of a bitch.
What?
Yeah, 你吃饭 means fuck. So that's just like that. The richness in languages, like 你吃饭了吗?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually quite interesting. I have one challenge for you because you're learning Chinese, right?
Okay.
And you're
okay.
getting super great at this. So I'm going to ask you something about 意思. Okay.
意思. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I have another story with that.
Okay, so let's say, for example, I'll give you a given situation. You are a teacher, and my son is cheated in a class, and then you caught him, yeah? And I'm the dad. I'm going to bring you a gift, actually. Okay, let's see.
You're going to bring me a gift?
Yeah. I'm going to bribe you, yeah, because you caught my son cheating. Yeah?
Oh, okay.
Okay. You're gonna give him an F, and I'm trying to, resolve this. So I am gonna start saying things in Chinese. Okay, this is the gift. So, 老师，这是一点意思，就是一点意思。我的意思是，就是这是只是一点意思而已。 Okay, 那如果你不接受这个意思的话，就有一点没有意思了，对不对？那实在有点意思， right? Okay, so 这是我的一点意思，就意思。 I'm pretty sure all Taiwanese understand what the fuck I'm saying. Did you understand?
Say again.
Okay. 老师，这是一点意思，就意思。对，没什么意思。我的意思是呢，这只是一点意思。对，那 如果接受的话，那真的很有意思；不接受的话，就有点没意思。
Okay, I don't know.
So yeah, that's the richness in Chinese.
Yeah. 这是我的意思，你没有意思，但是你知道我的意思是意思意思。
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's like you know what I mean. This is me trying to buy you, but if you reject that, then we gonna have a problem, bro. If you accept it, my gift. This is a nice gesture. If you accept it, then things are gonna be fun. Things are gonna be interesting.
This guy,
yeah,
just so bored to your.
Yeah, so we're gonna get along, teacher. Yeah, because it's just a gift. Yeah. No pressure. Just take it and give my son.
You're a gangster. Let's go. You're a gangster.
So yeah, well, it's actually quite interesting. Yeah.
Wow. Today's show is on fire. You were talking about chopsticks. I have actually another news about chopsticks. So, yeah, that one is on fire. So,
I know you say again. We watch that video.
That is my tactic right now. But it's a nice approach because we verified the source before we talked about it, and that in a way will kind of like. You check the source together.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole, everybody, if we didn't mention, but the whole resource you are going to see in the description of the YouTube video.
So if you're
you are going
curious,
to see the whole links and the whole thing that we are going
to
talk about.
You would also get to, you know, read some articles or that certain footage of what we're talking about. But I do want to address, this is very important. Whatever topic we're talking about, we're mainly focusing on case by case. We're not pointing our fingers at any individual that happens to be in the situation or, yeah. Just like, cheers, bro.
Sure.
It's all about case, yeah. We're talking about more like a broad.
I think like in the initial idea of this program was talk about the real things in the life.
Exactly.
But we share our point of view.
We're not doing any name callings. We're not starting any online bullying or anything like that.
Okay.
So to start with the chopstick one.
Yes.
So imagine
The
last episode before we are publicly executed. So there is this Asian guy, and then I think he went to Italy with his date or girlfriend at the time, and they were having, you know, like a fun time, and they went to this Italian pasta restaurant, and he ordered pasta. Spaghetti, and maybe he finds using fork it's a bit inconvenient, so luckily he bought a pair like chopsticks, and so he started using his chopsticks, and then he was stopped by the Italian, either the restaurant owner or the waiter, and say
one of the personnel of that Italian restaurant, because we don't know in the video he didn't say anything,
and then he said no, you are in Italy, you are not in China, you eat like this, and then he used the fork to, you know, deliver food into the Asian person's mouth. So that's what happened with the video. I would say the Asian guy actually handled the situation
appropriately
without
anything
about it. But that could have turned so bad anytime if it weren't for that given situation. So I would say
I want to listen to your opinion before I, because it's every time I say my opinion first, your opinion changes. So I want to listen to your opinion first.
My opinion changed? No.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, I can't say everything.
Okay.
Sometimes your opinion changed. Mm-hmm.
We talked briefly before the show. I think I have a different perspective with you from this one. So honestly, I would say it is not conventional and not usual for someone to use chopsticks to eat spaghetti. But I don't find that offensive or disrespectful. In any setting, honestly, because you already pay for your food and you're not being like so loud, you're not being disturbing. You find this is the most efficient way for you to consume your food. Yeah. So I think, honestly, I think it's not to the point that you need to be stopped by someone. And for that video, I think it's that person shoving the food into your mouth. Maybe he can say like, hey, you need to respect the rules or the policy or the culture of Italy, but you can ask that person to change, but shoving food into his mouth, personally, I find that maybe a little bit
rude.
Yeah, a bit rude.
First, when I watch the video, looks like a really traditional Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the people want to live that whole experience about the living in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, I think was a little, for me, from my perspective, was a little, you are looking this, you're watching this, because that if you buy a chopstick and you go to a restaurant, Italian restaurant, and use chopstick, it's like you don't leave the really experience. You need to eat. You need to eat with fork.
Yeah, you mentioned a really good point. When in Rome, do as the Roman says, or do as the Roman do. It's like respecting their culture. Yeah. Maybe he didn't necessarily, you know, pay too much attention on respecting people's culture. But I would say, yeah, it's like different perspective. So you, what do you think? I'm curious about your opinion.
Are you curious about my opinion? Yeah, you need to throw me in the storm. Okay. Well, it's simple. My opinion is, when you go to the in Peru. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I'm your Lord now.
In Peru, we say one sentence is, a donde fueras, haz lo que vieras. Okay, it's wherever you go, do whatever you watch. Mm-hmm. That shocked me because when I come to Taiwan, a lot of things didn't match with me. Mm-hmm. And my mother told me, relax, brief, and you need to understand that it's their culture and you are a tourist, you are a foreigner there, so you need to respect 100%, no matter if that didn't match or you don't like that. Yeah. It's their culture and you need to respect 100%, no matter what, you respect that.
Yeah, I think one thing you mentioned was really, really, really important. When you're in, you know, like foreign environment, you do your best to try to not be too ignorant and try to be, you know, just pay attention to what's around you and respect the culture, I would say. But one thing that brings me, you know, like I have this thought, like what if today is vice versa? Imagine you're in Taiwan and you're in a Taiwanese restaurant and you see a foreigner walking in and orders like a bowl of rice. So obviously they serve you with chopsticks, right? And you find it really hard for you to eat because it's not easy, right? And now this person decided to use spoon or fork or some other things. Well, chances are 99.9% no Taiwanese is gonna step up and say, no, you eat in our way because we traditionally use chopsticks.
If you put in just clothes in this idea, is the guy didn't do anything wrong. Is their own culture, and of course we need to respect their own culture. But if you open a little more, that it's not your environment.
Yeah,
it's not your, it's not a Chinese restaurant.
Right,
it's not your continent. Mm-hmm. It's not your continent.
Yeah,
and plus that, you don't know if this guy have a really good or bad day.
I have a question.
You say that.
If in Peru, in your territory, your culture, your environment, it's something celebrating or something about Peruvian culture, and then you prepare that food, and then you invited all of your friends to come along, and let's say, for example, if I go and then you say, hey, try this, I made this, you know, specifically for this event, and you should try it, it's very traditional, it's really good, and it's about that thing, right, about rabbits, about guinea pigs, and let's say, for example, I say, oh, no, thank you, I don't think I can try. Do you personally find that, what the fuck? Do you find it offensive?
That happened to my wife.
Oh, really?
My wife.
Okay, what happened?
We went to this farm, and my wife was really fancy because she loved the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And imagine, in the beginning, we start. We come to the place, and we open the place, and you saw hundreds of guinea pigs running, really cute. Some small, some bigger, with a lot of colors.
Yes.
And my wife was taking photos, my wife was recording.
She was over the moon.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so cute.
And after that, we sit down in the table
and
they present the food, and the food was guinea pig. Of course, everyone was eating the same guinea, we was eating guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. And my wife was sit down in the table with eight Peruvian guys, eight Peruvian people watching you. Because you are the foreigner.
Yeah, you feel so pressured that you have to swallow, man.
I'm waiting you to eat guinea pig.
Try it. It's already, it's
yeah, it's try it. So what I did, my wife, and I believe that she was really brave, is the same. If you are under pressure in that moment, eat one thing. Eat maybe a small, a little piece. Uh-huh. Okay, try it. Just try it. Because just try it, you can be clear what is the taste. And the second thing is, everybody can be happy. So you can try it a little, and then you can say, yeah,
now I tried.
I tried because I remember that in that moment, in that second, my wife took a picture and sent to his parent, and his parent said, you are not going to eat weird things. change. Uh-huh. But for example, when I listened that, for me was a little shock. In the beginning, it was like a, so you are calling my food weird? You see this? You see? So
yeah,
it's really cultural things.
Yeah.
I think if, return to the case of the pasta guy. Mm-hmm. It was an Italian restaurant in Taiwan, mm-hmm. and one Taiwanese go and they can't use, for example, my father-in-law, he can't use frogs. Mm-hmm. He needs to use
quite always prefer chopsticks.
Always, always, yeah. No matter what.
That's how he eats his entire life.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So if we go to the Taiwanese Italian restaurant and he don't have chopstick, the whole position, I give the whole right to the Taiwanese guy. Mm-hmm. He needs to demand that no. You are in Taiwan. Taiwan is a culture is that this, and the people eat that this. So you need to have a chopstick for one option for the people, mm-hmm. for the people who never use frogs and don't use. Because yeah. my father-in-law don't know how to use.
Yeah,
don't know how to use. So I can understand that point of view. But if you are in foreigner country, you need to understand.
It's always a must to at least try to respect their culture. Yeah, exactly. There's one tiny thing that people might miss because if you guys go see the video, you can clearly hear that the Italian guy said, "No, you are in Italy. You are not in China." Right. So he's
wait, that's it.
He's like, "No, you respect my country, my culture." While he didn't know the guy is not Chinese, so that single sentence is very racist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because that guy is Korean, and he was like, "What the fuck?" Right?
The guy was Korean.
Oh, Asian is Chinese. It's basically like, "Oh, you see a foreigner? Hi, are you from America? Are you American?" It's like that's fucking racist. Yeah, but maybe it comes from a very innocent perspective.
I mean, you're not going to be close because living in Taiwan, I listened and I saw a lot of black people who everybody say, "Oh, you're from South Africa."
Yeah.
Even if they are American people, they say, "Oh, you're from South Africa." Right. Even they are French. Mm-hmm. They are from every part of the country. Oh, just because you are black, you are from South Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is, you need to understand that can be a one times or two times in your life, mm-hmm. but you need to learn and improve. Yeah. Like you make a mistake, but you need to learn and improve.
Just like that Italian guy, I can understand that when he said that sentence, he was making his point. He was not even close to trying to be racist, but it might come out and the Korean guy might like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Yeah.
It's the same when his father-in-law told like, "Don't eat weird things."
Yeah, exactly. He was like, are you calling my culture weird?
You called to my culture? You called to my traditional food weird?
Yeah.
It's like that point. Yeah.
Maybe like the intention
of his father, of my father-in-law, was like, "Don't eat strange things."
Yeah.
But the word is strange.
And how you understand how you perceive it.
Yeah. It's the perspective of everyone.
Huh. Interesting.
Whoa! Okay. I'm happy that we are not going to be sincere about it.
Okay. Well, it was a fantastic episode, and thank you guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and turn on that little thingy to get some newest, latest notification of Brosbon. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's me, Concord.
It's me, Tyler.
And this is Bros Bond.
Bye-bye. We are so in sync this time.
See ya, bye-bye.
Studio 307, 灯光美气氛加实用的设备都还超级顶级。 不管你是Pro级的专业人士， 想要自己来试试看， 或者是新手菜鸟， 需要人家引导讲解。 台南的朋友， 想要当Podcaster吗？ 赶快过来， 赶快试试看这里Studio 307， 很赞。